Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while. We have weird things to report. Not necessarily the weirdest, but it certainly got my attention today. This telephone company, they cut off the... They cut off an FBI international wiretap because the FBI failed to pay its bill on time. This is astonishing. It doesn't name the phone company here. One can guess. I mean, there are only, what, three left. So your guess is as good as mine. But here's a situation where phone companies willingly violated the law, the FISA Act. Phone company executives, when approached by the Bush crime family over the past 6 years, the crime family requesting warrantless wiretaps, the phone companies were more than willing to do it. The phone company executives had no problem with compromising whatever sense of morality or ethical conduct that they might possess, although usually the leaders of corporate America are totally amoral. There is no such thing as a moral corporate chieftain. It's an impossibility. It does not exist. Bill Gates? I wouldn't put him in the same category. He's a self-made trillionaire or whatever and dispenses his money as he sees fit. I'm talking about these pasty, white, most of them are white, some of them are dark-skinned, slugs, crumbs, pigs, that slash and burn their way to the top of whatever corporate ladder they happen to find themselves on, and once they get there, destroy whatever's left of working-class America, collect their bonuses, and move on for more destruction. They are amoral. They have to be, by definition. So, there's no problem with the morality of the ethical conduct of warrantless wiretaps. There's no problem to these conscienceless bastards where it concerns violating the First Amendment to the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. They couldn't care less. Because they are creeped-out corporatist bastards in much the same mold as Cheney and Bush and everybody who has come to work for these slugs in the past 7 years. So no problem with the constitutionality of what they've done. No problem with the illegality of what they've done. No problem with the morality of what they've done. No problem with the ethical lack of ethics with what they've done. But let the phone bill get overdue. Son of a bitch, where's the plug? Unbelievable. And yet, very believable. What was it, a $56,000 bill? Or a telephone company? This is the way it's reported by Reuters. A telephone company cut off an FBI international wiretap after the agency failed to pay its bill on time. According to U.S. government audit released today, it cited the case in which a wiretap under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which governs electronic spying and terrorism and intelligence cases, was disrupted due to an overdue bill. The audit said Late payments have resulted in telecommunications carriers actually disconnecting phone lines established to deliver surveillance results to the FBI, resulting in lost evidence, including an instance where delivery of intercept information required by a FISA order was halted due to untimely payment, end quote. A spokeswoman for the Bush Crime Family's Inspector General Office, one Cynthia Schneider, said she could not provide additional details on the disrupted wiretap. She has no idea. By the way, that program is up for renewal in Congress. Now, this audit came about by accident. It came about because of a case in last year, 2006, in which an FBI employee pled guilty to stealing more than $25,000 in confidential case funds intended for these undercover telecom services. $25,000. He stole it. Hi, I'm an FBI agent. Where's the money? Give it to me. Goodbye. The telecom companies not being paid, and I don't think the two stories relate, although, you know, stealing out of the slush fund that pays the telecom companies to violate the Constitution, maybe they're connected. The part of the story that's intriguing to me, though, is how these rotten, disgusting bastards, and some of you wonder why I'm always down in corporate America, huh? Talking about the corporatists, the ones who have destroyed our economy, destroyed the middle class, destroyed union labor, destroyed everything except their bottom line profits. And one can hope that pretty soon that'll be destroyed, so these sons of bitches will suffer as much as everyone else. But not to happen. And by the way, I certainly owe the great communist country of China an apology. I've been busting up on the Chinese for a long time because they send poison here. They send shoddy products. They send stuff that will kill us and make us sick. They're only following the U.S. model. We have been doing that since the late 1800s. You know, I don't need to mention cigarettes, our export of death and disease. I don't need to mention our export of other types of events that lead to death and disease, corporations that go to these countries only to exploit the labor. So my apologies to China, if anyone there is listening, which I seriously doubt. While I think you all are a bunch of scum-sucking bastards because you were following the U.S. corporatist model, I've got to say that the U.S. corporatist model is much worse than you Chinese will ever be. Well, at least for the next 4 or 5 years. Eventually, you will become the boogeymen of the planet. Where was I? I digress. So the telephone companies, because their bill wasn't paid. Don't you love it? Because their bill wasn't paid by the FBI, they interrupt surveillance that may have been legit. And pull the plug. Now, I happen to find the story incredibly A, amusing, and B, righteous, and C, typical, and D, it defines the slugs and scum that make up corporate America. But how about that, huh? In the first place, they participate in violating the Constitution and the law, and in the second instance, when information may be being transmitted that may stop some sort of terrorist act, these filthy bastards pull the plug because the bill isn't paid. Oh, my God. See, every day, every single day, another one of these stories pops out. Just when you think it can't get any more bizarre or more weird, you find out that the phone companies, who have no problem with violating the Constitution and the law, have no problem with intercepting phone calls of legitimate Americans, but will bring it all to a standstill if their freaking phone bill isn't paid. I know, I'm repeating myself. Astonishing. Just astonishing. We have a break coming here. The latest on the Iranian speedboats U.S. Navy confrontation is worth a big laugh, except for the fact that it could have triggered World War III, IV, V, and IX.
They're coming at you! They're coming to you!
Or whatever.
I'm coming to you! You will explode!
The latest chapter of this fairy tale is... Well, it kept me in stitches most of the afternoon. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Baby of love. Baby of love. Baby of love. I'm tired of fighting.
We are redefining war on our terms.
Give up my whole day wages. We are redefining.
I am coming at you. I'm coming at you.
We'll have some of that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. As far as defining war on Bush's terms, he promised Israel today that we will nuke Iran. Yes, we will. Bush promised Israel's opposition leader, the fascist rat bastard Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, it's very hard for me to call a Jew a fascist. It is difficult. It'd be like, I don't know, like calling a Catholic priest a Christ killer. It's difficult for me to do that. But Benjamin Netanyahu defines fascism. And I don't care if he's Jewish or if he's a whirling dervish. He is a fascist. So there's Bush and Netanyahu at a joint a press party. I don't know. It was the Luke. He is the head of the Likud party, who opposes the U.S.-backed Annapolis peace process. Oh, yes, indeed. He and Bush had a little chit-chat today, and Bush came out and said he will join the Jewish state in a nuclear strike against Iran. This is the way it's reported. Former Prime Minister Netanyahu, opposition Likud Party's hardline chairman who opposes the U.S.-backed Annapolis peace process, reiterated to President Bush his stance that a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran's nuclear installations was the only way to stop the Islamic nation's nuclear weapons ambitions. Netanyahu told Israel Radio, quote, "I told him my position, and Bush agreed," end quote. During their 45-minute meeting at the King David Hotel, is that still standing? My goodness. I didn't know that. I thought Irgun took it out all those years ago. Oh, well. During their 45-minute meeting at King David Hotel in Jerusalem, Netanyahu also told Bush that, quote, "Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people and will remain under Israeli sovereignty for eternity," end quote. Bush issued a stark warning to Iran over Strait of Hormuz incident, saying that all options are on the table to protect our assets. What's that word? Assets. It'll protect our assets. There will be serious consequences if they attack our ships, pure and simple. And my advice to them is, don't do it. End quote.
Bush criticized those who interpret the National Intelligence Estimate, which found that Iran gave up its nuclear weapons program a long time ago, As a sign that Iran was no longer a threat, Bush told reporters, let me remind you what the NIA actually said. It said that as far as the intelligence community could tell, at one time the Iranians had a military, a covert military program that was suspended because of international pressure. My attitude is that on a, wait a minute, let me get this booger. My attitude is that on a non-transparent country, a country who's yet to disclose what it was up to, can easily restart a program, end quote. Son of a bitch. Just 2 days after the U.S. Navy released the eerie video of Iranian speedboats swarming around American warships, which featured a chilling threat in English, the Navy is saying that the voice on the tape could have come from somewhere else. Here's the voice. No, not that voice. We want the weird sounding voice. Do we have the weird sounding voice? Play it again, please. I am coming to you. You will explode after a few minutes. The Navy never said specifically where the voices came from. We hear voices out here in the ocean all the time, actually, but many were left with the impression they had come from the speedboats because of the way the Navy footage was edited. Yeah, okay. Today, the spokesperson for the U.S. Admiral in charge of the Fifth Fleet clarified to ABC News that the threat may have come from somewhere else. The spokesperson said, quote, "We're saying that we cannot make a direct connection to the boats there. It could have come from the shore or from another ship passing by. However, it happened in the middle of all the very unusual activity. So as we assess the information and situation, we still put it in the total aggregate of what happened Sunday morning. I guess we're not saying that it absolutely came from the boats, but we're not saying it absolutely didn't." So... oh, that just, doesn't that just raise the hairs in your crotch? Doesn't that just make your gut turn a little bit faster? I mean, that is some scary stuff, dude. Yeah, well, we don't know now where it came from. But right after Malloy has his little Tony-ass, phony-ass break here for news about the hour, we'll tell you where we think it really did come from, and we'll play an audio for you of those damn sneaky Iranians. Y'all stick around now.
I'm coming to you.
Hypocrites and liars.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is not
great. Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is not surrender.
I mentioned early on that I recognize there are hurdles and we're going to achieve those hurdles. There's no doubt in my mind we will.
All right, where were we? We are coming to you.
Bush promises Israel's own homegrown numero uno fascist, Benjamin Netanyahu, that the United States will join with Israel in a nuclear attack on Iran. Now, see, this is, and there was dead silence from the U.S. Senate today. Dead silence. Nobody stood up and said, the hell you will. The hell we will. You want a nuclear attack on Iran? You're going to have to get a declaration of insanity from us. Once you get your declaration of insanity, then you can go. But see, Bush knows. He doesn't need to do that. He just says to old Benjamin, you want a nuclear? Yeah, sure. Oh, what the hell? We'll do it. Then we go to the ranch and roast deer or something. You want to do that? You want to do that, Ben? Son of a bitch. So, in the meantime, let's hear some more of the eerie
Iranian voice as the speedboats swarmed round Americans' warships and a chilling threat in English.
I am coming to you.
I love it. You will explode after a few minutes. I'm coming to you.
Yeah, like, that's the way Iranians talk, you know. The North Vietnamese talk that way, too. So did the Japs and the Gooks and the Jerrys and all these slime balls and the slants. And they all sound the same.
I am coming to cut off your wife's head. I am coming to rape your buildings and eat your children. Bah!
Well, the Navy today said, okay, that threat, I'm coming to you, may have come from, I love this, somewhere else. And the guy went on to say, we're not saying that it didn't come from the boats. We're just saying that it did or didn't, or not, or could not have been, maybe, or on the other, you know, whatever. So the Iranians, of course, have denied using any kind of language like that, and they're saying that the U.S. release video is fabricated. No! Really? You're kidding! You mean you people don't talk like that?
We're coming to you!
You people don't talk that way? I'll be damned. On the audio released today, the voice that the Iranians say is the communication from their vessel can be heard identifying itself to the American ship. You'll hear, Coalition Warship Number 73, this is an Iranian Navy patrol boat. Let's listen to some of this.
Coalition Warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat, Anton Wanban. How do you copy your?
This is Coalition Warship 73, I reach loud and clear, over.
Coalition Warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat. Request side number, Hilo operating in the area this time, over.
Coalition Warship 73, I'm operating in international waters.
Coalition Warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat, coming over.
I am operating in international waters.
Coalition Warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat. Request present course and speed. Over. موقعیت 26 سی موقعیت 26 و 30 دقیقه شمالی 056 و 6 دقیقه شرقی.
Now, interestingly, that doesn't sound a whole lot like this.
I am coming to you.
Now, one of the ways they don't sound alike is that in the spooky one, I am coming to you, there's no ambient noise. There's no sounds of a speedboat motor. And if you remember the videos, those are open little speedboats, like cigarette boats, right? There's no sounds of a motor, no sounds of the sea, no sounds of the wind. But on the tape released by the Iranians today, you hear all of those sounds.
Coalition Warship 73, this is Iranian Navy patrol boat, Anton Wanban.
See? See what I'm saying? Hear all that ambient noise in the back? Now listen to this again.
I'm coming to you.
Oh, Jesus, God,
I am coming to you. You soon gonna blow up. Your mother is calling you. We going to go to America, screw your wife while you're over here. Ah! Your mother-in-law look like elephants. Ah! Your children are all clubfoot. Ah! Ha, 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 Yankee dog.
Oh, my.
I'm coming to you.
Get out of here. You're coming to me. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Is this not insane? Meanwhile, George W. Bush, hanging out with Israeli fascist number one, Benjamin Netanyahu, says that the United States will join Mr. Netanyahu when he is once again the Israeli Prime Minister in dropping nuclear bombs on the Iranians. What do you do with stuff like this, huh? What do you do? I mean, seriously, somebody help me out here. What do you do? What do you do? Do you laugh at it?
We are coming to you.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani, who is just turning into an absolute basket case. I mean, this guy is crazier than an outhouse rat. I mean, he really is. He's got bed bugs running around inside of his brain. It's just astonishing. Giuliani, the lead hate the Mexicans, hate the Latinos dude. He's been pretending to be tough on illegal immigration. And he's repeatedly said he believes all immigrants should be able to read, write, and speak English in order to become U.S. citizens. So what does he do with his campaign ad in Florida? That's right. He records it and airs it in Spanish! Oh, my God. Thanks to Logan Murphy at Crooks and Liars for that one. Oh, and there's another one from Crooks and Liars from Nicole Bell. When asked to comment on Hillary Clinton's show of emotion just before the New Hampshire primary, Rudy Giuliani invoked once again the sum total of his campaign platform, 9-11, 9-11. Somebody make him stop. Here's what he said. I think everybody in there is their own person, and they have to be their own person. And this is not something that I would judge him on one way or the other. And the reality is, if you look at me, September 11th, the funerals, the memorial services, there were times it was just impossible not to feel the emotion. Hey Rudy, you have colon cancer. Oh yeah, it was September 11th. Rudy, it's not colon cancer. It's our mistake. You have prostate cancer. Yeah, I know. September 11th. Rudy, your hair is all falling. Yeah. September 11th. Rudy, your kids are going to join the Peace Corps and go to Namibia. Yeah. September 11th. Rudy, what would you like for dinner tonight? September 11th. Son of a bitch, the man has become a parody of a caricature of himself, hasn't he? Huh? But I love that. In Florida.
All these illegal immigrants, all immigrants as a matter of fact, not just the illegals, they ought to be able to read, write, and speak English. Por qué no? However, my TV ad, I'm going to sound like George Bush now. Arbusto. Jorge Arbusto. Me ads de TV. They're in Espanol. I am... ¿Cómo se dice en español? Hypocrite. ¡Hipocrito! War president! 9-11! Jesus God. Someone make him stop. No, as a matter of fact, let him keep going.
Netanyahu told Israel Radio that, he let Bush know that a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran is the only way to stop that nation's nuclear weapons ambitions. Netanyahu told Israel Radio, I told him my position, and Bush agreed. Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people and will remain under Israeli sovereignty for eternity.
For eternity?
Really? Son of a bitch. Hey, Benjamin, the earth isn't going to be here for eternity. So I don't think Jerusalem will be under Jewish control for eternity. You see, the planet, the sun will blow up before eternity happens, in a manner of speaking. You know, what do we got, about 5 billion years left? Oh, Benjamin, you're such a freak.
Radio.
Mexican, whoa, radio.
Bienvenidos. So many distinguished Hispanic Americans in the Jardín de Rosas. Mi casa es su casa.
Ten before the hour. One more weird story. We had to invade Iraq because Saddam Hussein gassed his own people. Remember? Of course, it really didn't count because they were Kurds. They weren't, real Iraqis. Not, like Saddam. And that was one of the crimes for which he was put on trial and hanged. Gassed his own people. I like this. James Risen, writing at the New York Times today. The helicopter was hovering over a Baghdad checkpoint into the green zone, one typically crowded with cars, Iraqi civilians, and United States military personnel. Suddenly, on that May day in 2005, the copter dropped CS gas, a substance the American military in Iraq can use only under the strictest conditions and with the approval of top military commanders. An armored vehicle on the ground also released the gas, temporarily blinding drivers, passers-by, and at least 10 American soldiers operating the checkpoint. Captain Kinsey Clark of the Army, the senior officer at the scene, wrote later that day, quote, "This was decidedly uncool and very, very dangerous. It's not a good thing to cause soldiers who are standing guard against car bombs, snipers, and suicide bombers to cover their faces, choke, cough, and otherwise degrade our awareness." Both the helicopter and the vehicle involved in the incident at the Assassin's Gate checkpoint were not from the United States military, but were part of a convoy operated by Blackwater, the private security contractor under scrutiny for its role in a series of violent episodes in Iraq, including a September shooting in downtown Baghdad that left 17 Iraqis dead, blah, 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 blah. Poison gas. Son of a bitch, really? Well, okay. It's not like it was sarin or something. It's only CS gas. Big difference. CS gas won't kill you in and of itself. It may cause somebody over the age of 50 or 60 to fall dead with a heart attack. But come on, Malloy! War is hell! Dropping gas on America. So my question is, once the American soldiers on the ground realized that something in the air was dropping poison gas on them, here's my question. Why didn't the American soldiers raise their weapons and shoot the goddamn thing out of the sky? Why didn't they just open fire? This was an enemy action against American soldiers. This was an attack on American military personnel. We've been known to go to war for less. We've invaded whole countries for less. So, why didn't these Marines, these soldiers, raise their weapons and blow the helicopter out of the sky? I would have. Oh, God, would I have. Unbelievable. It gets bizarrer and bizarrer, doesn't it? Last one, because we have a break coming up here. From the Times of the UK.
American aircraft pounded suspected Al-Qaeda haven south of Baghdad yesterday in one of the largest airstrikes since the invasion of Iraq. Two B-1 bombers and four F-16 fighters dropped 38 bombs containing 40,000 pounds of explosives in 10 minutes on three zones across Arab Jabor, a region of palm groves and fields next to the Tigris River. The bombardment was part of a nationwide assault begun this week to crush remaining insurgency strongholds. The offensive, dubbed Operation Phantom Phoenix, has already left 9 American soldiers dead. By nightfall, U.S. and Iraqi ground forces in support of the morning airstrike were still searching the area for insurgents and weapons. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Wilson, Deputy Commander of the 3rd Combat Aviation Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, said, quote, "We certainly have our opponents on the ropes, and we're going to go after him while he's on the ropes," end quote. The assault in Arab Jabur hit more than 40 targets, according to a military statement, which said, quote, "Each bomber made 2 passes, and the F-16s followed to complete the set," end quote. A total of 47,500 pounds of explosives were used in the operation, and there was no immediate information on whether anyone had been killed. So, there. It's unbelievable, isn't it? We are coming to you. We are coming to you. I told Mr. Bush my position, and he agreed. We are going to launch a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran. It's the only way to stop them from building nuclear weapons. My name is Benjamin Netanyahu. I will be the next prime minister. I've been before, I'll be again, of Israel. Oh, and by the way, Jerusalem, ours, all eternity. It will always, forever be Jewish. Christians, get out of here. Arabs, shmek, be gone. Feh. It's ours. Goodbye. Come back after break. Listen to more Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I think we may have an Uncle Mike story corner coming up here at some point. But I want to share an email with you from Sandra. And then we're going to come to your phone calls. So if you're on hold there, just stay right there. We're coming right after this email. This is from Sandra, and she put her whole name on here. I don't know if I should give the whole thing, but she identifies herself as a 70s hippie girl now in my 50s. Here's what she writes. The title of this is Hippie Girls of the 70s Love Hillary, and this is why. I'd like to give you a little insight into the mind and heart of the hippie girl of the 70s now in their 50s who stood up for women's rights, who fought to give women control over their bodies, and who demanded equal pay for equal jobs. Still working on that one, but we've made some progress. Because of their strong desire to effect change through action, women now no longer think their place is in the home, or that they can't be a doctor, a lawyer, or president. We passed laws protecting battered and abused women and children, and we marched in the streets to demand the respect we deserve. Our list of accomplishments for women's rights is long. Gloria Steinem was our hero, and we all belong to the National Organization for Women.
We read Ms. Magazine and Mother Jones as well as Mother Earth. We devoured the book, The Women's Room, and passed it around like a box of chocolates to every girl we knew. We no longer accepted the views of our fathers as our own and changed our way of thinking about ourselves, our society, and our place in it. So, when Hillary Clinton says she has worked for change all her life, she means it, literally. We, the hippie girls of the 70s, know where she's coming from. We know how hard it is to be a force for change in a man's world, and we understand the frustration felt after a long day at work and people still don't get you or aren't listening to you. We know how to brush ourselves off and get back up on the horse. Yes, we are the hippie girls of the 70s, and our time has come. We've paid our dues, and we want to see a woman in the White House before we die. That will be the sign to us that all our efforts and protest and demands for equal rights really did help change history. Yes, we are the hippie girls of the 70s, now in our 50s, and we are the ones who will put Hillary in the White House because in our hearts we know she is one of us. Sandra, a 70s hippie girl, now in my 50s. Well, thank you, Sandra. I appreciate your writing. To your phone calls, starting with AJ, the Music Factory, who is calling from the Catskills in New York. Hey, AJ, how you doing?
Hey, handsome. How's it going tonight?
Barely creaking along, but still moving forward.
Yep. You know, I could easily find myself swayed in another direction than what I wanted to talk to you about because of that last email. I'm going to really resist the temptation.
Well, it's your phone call.
I know.
You can do whatever you like, AJ.
well, I was wanting to talk to you about Iowa and wondering if you and other people had the same experience. I don't know, maybe I'm dim, but, you know, when Iowa comes up every year, it's an opportunity to sort of pay attention and to find out how it works. Because it's,
all right, you know, you remember when you were a kid and you played the game Red Rover, let AJ come over?
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a game of Red Rover with political implications. AJ, I don't have a clue how that system. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, I sit through the explanations and very much like an explanation of the Electoral College, about three sentences in, I'm lost.
Yeah, your eyes glass over and you start picking lint off your sleeve. No,
yeah,
I understand. I understand.
Precisely correct. So,
I have no idea. Why do they spend millions of dollars in Iowa for ads? What does it mean? I don't know, AJ.
Well, you have gone exactly to my point. I heard hundreds of explanations of how. I've never heard an explanation as to why.
I know,
why is there just not a simple voting day? Same thing with New Hampshire, to a lesser degree, because that is a legitimate primary. But, you know, it seems to me that this electoral process that we have in this country is outrageously complicated. And the conspiratorial part of me wants to say, you know, it's intentional. I don't know whether it is or it isn't. I'm inclined to believe that it's extremely outdated and outmoded.
Uh-huh.
But good God, you know, it just you know, we have this, like Iowa, for example. It's you have to win it. But sometimes it's more important who comes in second or third. And then you start to say, well, geez, I remember about three or four Iowas now, and I remember quite a few people who won Iowa and didn't win the presidency. In fact, they didn't even go on to New Hampshire.
Do you know what the Iowa caucuses really are, AJ? It's theology. Try to count the number of angels that can dance on the head of a pin.
Yep.
Try to explain the talking snake theory of creation. Yep. Iowa caucuses are nothing more than political theology. That's all.
Well, and couple that with what happened with New Hampshire and the polls. And I listened very closely to what you and Brad had to say last night. But whether that's true to any degree or not, what blew me away was it was like deja vu. When stupid won back in 2000. And they predicted that Gore had won, and then they predicted that Bush had won. The media, the pundits, did a huge mea culpa. And they did it again.
Of course.
They did it again. They, last night, or a couple of nights ago, when they, when they started to say, well, this is what happened with the polls and everything, it was as if 2000 had never happened, and they never said, we will never do this again.
Right.
That we will be responsible in the future. It's like that never happened.
Right.
It blew me away. So,
One more part of the Iowa New Hampshire thing that fascinates me, and that is on the real, honest to God, this is it. The moment is here, election night, when the polls open in, where is it, Hooker's Notch or Snotnose Gap or wherever in New Hampshire, and there are nine people there, and they all go, "Aye-up, it's time to go and vote. Aye-up." And they walk over and they vote in Pissant Notch. What is that place called? Bearded Notch, Hooker's Notch.
I can't seem to remember.
Beetle Weevil Notch. I have no idea. But they all, you know, they go, well, let's eye up. Let's go vote. Let's get some lobsters in the pot, and then we'll go vote. Eye up. Yep. Eye up. Jesus! What? And then, you know, all the networks have stayed on the air because it's midnight. It's one past midnight, Eastern time. Son of a bitch, look! Look! Look what happened! Shagnasty Farquhart voted for Obama! And he's white, and he's got a beard, and he's carrying lobsters in his hand. Oh, what does this mean?
And what is ultimately maddening, and we always come back to this point, at least I do, is the hypocrisy that in this country they say the vote is the most sacred thing we have. And then they do everything in their power to make a game out of it, to trivialize it. The election day is not an official holiday.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's nothing.
And get this, AJ, it comes on a freaking Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
A Tuesday.
Yeah.
What genius came up with Tuesday?
Well, it worked back in 1787, Mike. It really did.
Why? What was Tuesday back then? Oh, yeah, that was the day the Negroes all stayed out in the field
cotton. No. It was the day, it had something to do with the harvest, that the first, they wanted to get the first day that they were sure that the, because most of the voters were farmers, and so they wanted to make sure that
the harvest comes in on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but I don't know if this applies to people in Seattle anymore, for God's sake.
I don't think it does.
This is what I'm talking about, is that we don't hold the vote sacred. We just play with it. It's a toy to us. I'll tell you one thing I am enjoying is that as the you know, the Republican field, they're all madmen.
But oh, they are.
But at least they're articulate.
Yeah.
And as you have these articulate Republicans rising to the surface and these very articulate Democrats on the other side rising to the surface, George Bush looks more like an idiot than we ever dreamed possible. Every time he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, my God, how many more days? How many more days? How many more days?
I know.
So,
oh, well, and he's over there in Israel today talking with Benjamin Netanyahu about the tandem nuclear attack on Iran.
Yeah.
You know, fun for the feeble-minded. I don't know. AJ, listen, we got to go. It's great
Peace.
Hearing from you.
Thanks for your good work.
I wish I understood the Iowa caucus. I wish I understood the New Hampshire primary. And I wish I understood why Snotnose Notch or Hooker's Corner, whatever the hell it is in New Hampshire where nine people go vote on election night, why is that so freaking important?
Should I leave the why? Last night I turned the TV on, you were booed off stage, singing your famous love songs. Why? And tell me who makes the rules. Sit on the wall, I'm a joke, you wait.
black lights and let's smoke some reefer here.
22 past the hour. All right, regarding the hippie girls of the 70s, now in their 50s, a couple of emails, well, a bunch of emails here, but I'm just going to pick two. This is from Lauren. Lauren writes, regarding hippie girls, we had Lauren's writing from Canada. We had a woman prime minister, albeit not elected, named Kim Campbell about 30 years ago. She was a conservative, although in her frequent appearances as a guest on Bill Maher's show now, she is relatively liberal. Most countries have had women leaders. Some are good, many are not that great. As a hippie girl from the 70s, now in my 50s, I worry more about leadership qualities and values than gender in my leaders. I can see why that woman whose letter you read wants to see a woman president. I imagine it's really embarrassing to be living in one of the last major countries in the world to have that experience. However, as a short person, I think Dennis Kucinich would be a better choice. Lauren. P.S. Dixfield Notch is the place in New Hampshire. Well, thanks. I have a Canadian tell me where the votes occur at 1 minute past midnight in the United States. Well, that figures. I thought it was, you know, Promontory Rump or something. Dixfield Notch. What the hell kind of a name is that? Oh, I know. I'm pissing off everybody in New Hampshire. Well, we'll never get an affiliate in New Hampshire now. This is from Kathy in Green Bay. She writes, hippie girls of the 70s, yes, we are. And as much as I admire a woman who has done as much as Hillary has, I don't agree with her policies, and I'm not going to vote for her just because she's a woman. The situation, Kathy writes, reminds me of a conversation I had during the 2000 election. A friend of mine agreed that it would be monumental to have a Jew in the White House. She is, I'm not. But as she so pointedly said, just not that one! I'm not voting for people because of some immutable characteristic. If the 70s taught us anything, it's not to do that. Listen, I love Bill Clinton's Southern accent. I think he's bright and interesting, well-read, and he would probably make a terrific luncheon companion. But in the long run, I disagree with his policies, and in the primaries, I don't support him either. All that said, if Hillary gets the nomination, I agree that her policies are better than those of any Republican. She'll get my vote. Kathy, Green Bay. Hippie girl of the 70s, now in my 50s. All right, back to your phone calls. Arnold is calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Mike Malloy. It is Dixville Notch.
Dixville Notch. Well,
Dixville Notch were the first votes were cast in the New Hampshire primary.
I got you.
Which blew all our TV people out the window with their... Oh, crazy. Listen, first things first, I want to say thank you to you and the lovely Miss Bay for the decks of cards that I received in my Christmas stocking.
Oh, you got them. Aren't those
man,
great?
I had a great time. I kept a deck for myself.
You what?
Gave my brother-in-law, who is a political junkie, a deck. He calls himself a political junkie.
Yeah.
And the last deck I took to my company where, you know, I'm a driver, right? I took it down to the driving lounge and I spread them on the table, and everybody know better than stealing things from my TV handle, Daddy Biggs. Daddy Biggs be all over them.
I hear
but,
that.
But those bubbles, man, who voted twice for George Bush, who was having a miracle turnaround in their mindset. They seem to be enjoying it. You know, it's a conversational type thing. You know.
Well, just
I think we're having a good time with it over there.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'll just make sure some of your some of the people you know who happen to be Republicans or other evil creatures have a chance to see these and totally freak them out or not. Maybe they'll go, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, the reaction I got from those bubbles who drive for my company, sitting in the driver's line looking at the deck of cards as they were trying to start another game of spades, you know. but there's a couple things I want to comment on things you said tonight.
Yeah, well, guess what? You've been talking so damn much. Now I got to go to a commercial break. So you're going to have to sit tight, all right? Just sit tight, Arnold. You are wordy, man. You ought to have a radio program. Put him on hold. Stay there, Arnold. Don't go away. When we come back, we'll talk with Arnold and everybody else on the phones here, okay? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I was holding on to my granddad's hand. He was pointing to the promised land that lay beyond the reservation road. He said, don't make a promise you won't keep. Don't betray the earth beneath your feet. And we walked on the reservation road. And just for that one moment, we were racing with the wind. And the sound of horses thundering, they echoed one.
25 before the hour? Or before the hour? 25 before... Getting hard to talk. All right, back to Arnold, who is called in from Columbus, Ohio, listening on Sirius. Okay, Arnold, let her rip.
Yeah, that I come for you thing, man. That really had me going when you first brought that up. I was laughing. But, you know, do you remember back on the eve of the 2004 election?
Mm-hmm.
These same people produced a white guy dressed as a Muslim, wrapped up, and he was warning American people that we're going to come for you and kill you and... You remember that?
Yeah. Well, he's still out there. This guy that you're talking about is still out there making making tapes for somebody, and they get broadcast and yada yada. Yeah, he's still out there. You know, he's got a gig that's a pretty good paying gig.
Kind of reminds you of an American used car salesman, you know, like Crazy Eddie trying to sell used cars.
Right.
Except and American people fall for that crap.
Yeah, I know. But you know, these crazy Muslim fundamentalists, just like crazy Christian fundamentalists, they're for real. You know, they cut your throat in a second, Arnold. They'll cut your throat quicker than a Christian will. Well, okay, maybe that's pushing it, but, huh?
They ought to kill us. They ought to kill us, Mike. They're going to kill us all. I hear them on this. You ought to hear them on this TV, man. I just want to stick my finger in my mouth, you know. It's just crazy where things are going with these people like that. I see John Kerry's down there in South Carolina slapping my man on the back. I'm for you. I come for you.
Yeah, how about John Kerry won't even support his running mate from 4 years? You know why? Because Edwards had the courage to let people know that he was kind of upset by the way John Kerry tucked his tail up behind his ears and snuck off the stage when he knew damn good and well that Ohio, that the Secretary of State in Ohio was screwing him out of the presidency. You know, Kerry, big, great big old Vietnam War veteran, look at all my medals, snuck off like a whipped rat. And no wonder Edwards got in his case a little bit. So how does Kerry get back? Like any bitch would. He just says, well, I'll just go support Obama. That's what I'll do.
Slap him on the back and say, remember this, Obama, count every vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that, you know.
Right, right.
But the sad thing of it is, you know, if you think back to that time, the sad thing of it is, when they certified that vote in the Senate, the only person that stood up was Barbara Boxer. Where was Hillary Clinton at? The wife of the first black president. Where was she at?
I don't know. In the kitchen. She was making cookies. I have no idea. Arnold, I got to go. Thanks, man.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Nice
drive safe.
To you again.
All right, drive safe. I appreciate you checking in. Did I use the B word? I did, didn't I? Damn. Well, I apologize. I didn't mean to use the B word in that context. I guess I was using it more in the prison context. I don't know what context, but anyway, I'm sorry. Don't send me emails now and tell me, Malloy, you used the B word. That's almost as bad as the N word, which is possibly as bad as the C word or the K word or the J word. And if you're going to use the B word and the N word, how about the L word or the MNOP, the F word? Tom is calling from Norwich, Connecticut, listening on the Internet. Tom, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. First off, it's an honor to get through to you. I mean,
before
I could never get past the busy signal, and now I actually got to be on hold for a while, and I feel great and honored that I get to talk to you.
Well, you're making me blush.
Well, I'm telling you, you're like one of my favorite talkers,
thank
period.
You. But I do appreciate it. Thanks, Tom.
And all of the platitudes aside, because I know you got a lot of people on hold, I'm sure, you know, with the thing with the I'm coming to get you thing and how poorly it's produced and all,
I know.
Basically, you only have to get it produced good enough to be able to be accepted by the mouth breathers who are watching Fox News.
That's true.
Just like with the thing when they supposedly found the weapons that the Iranians were sneaking into Iraq, and yet all the writing on them was in English. I mean, you don't really have to be really hard production with Fox News viewers. They're not.
That's true. That's true. And if you can make the voice sound really what someone of Fox News thinks is scary, I'm coming to you. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, that would make the average beer-drinking, lard-ass white boy sitting in front of...
Well, as long as he sounds like your guy from the 7-Eleven, there you go.
I'm coming for you.
You want the Slurpee with that, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh, well. Listen, here it is again. Here, listen again. Here.
I am coming to you.
It almost sounds like the voice, like the guy is kidding. You know, it's like he's saying, okay, let me see here. How can I sound like a triple dumbass? Oh, let me do it this way. I am coming to you.
Well, it actually sounds to me as like somebody actually put that on later that they were just screwing around about, like, let's see how many stupid people will buy this.
I think you probably are right. I think you're right. The whole thing is just, I don't know. It's like their
attempt at a Gulf of Tonkin, and they're not even good at that.
Close. Mm-hmm. Tom, I'm glad you checked in. Call again, all right? Don't be intimidated by a busy signal. You know, some nights you can't get in. Other nights I'm sitting here begging for people to call. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. Take care. Sydney is calling from El Paso, Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Sydney.
Hi, how you doing? I feel privileged to get through. I guess maybe I was wondering if you could educate me a little bit.
I can't educate you.
Oh, you can't educate me a little bit?
I cannot.
Why is Bush so obsessed with Iran? And, is he trying to get out of the presidency with a bang, or what's going on?
Bush is a psychopath, or at least a sociopath. He's a crazy man. He's a bully. He's a snot. He's a twit. How many names? I can't even go down the list. He likes other people to go to war. He doesn't like to. He's a coward. He's a turn tail and run absolute freaking coward. Put two real soldiers in front of Bush, and about 10 minutes, if he weren't the president, they'd pound his ass into the ground because he is such a coward. And anybody who served in the uniform of the United States military would understand that after about 5 minutes. So why does he want to go after Iran? Because he's a coward and a bully and a snot. That's all I can come up with, Sydney. I don't know, man. I don't know. Why do you think?
I don't know. I spent 4 years in the military. I just got out December of 2006, and I don't know. You know, I've watched like his message about the war. You know, from the beginning to the end, and honestly, I don't know. And it's just kind of disturbing that he's mentioning nuclear weapons like that. That really got my my attention, because that is way extreme.
Tell me about it. Are you regular Army? Were you reserves? What were you?
I was active duty in the military. I was stationed in Fort Campbell,
Kentucky
with the 101st Airborne Division, 3rd and 502nd Infantry.
Did you get overseas for anything?
Yes, sir, I did.
How are you feeling? You doing all right?
I don't know. You know, when I first got out of the military, I had a really hard time. I got out December 2008. I was homeless for about 2 months while I was a foster child, and I was homeless for about 2 months, and then I had some people help me out at the Texas VA, and I'm going to school now and whatnot, but it was just a battle even with the VA. I had my right finger severed, my right pinky finger severed from IED bomb in Iraq, and I had shrapnel on my legs and whatnot. But as far as, you know, like mentally, you know, I'm doing better. It was just, you know, when I first came back, it was overwhelming.
I'm sure it was. You're in school?
Yeah, yes, sir, I am. Mm-hmm.
And are you married? You single? What?
I'm single. I'm studying sociology. Mm-hmm. I'm studying sociology, And it's been good for me. I'm working. I've been working at this trucking company and loading trucks and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really nice people at the Texas VA were helping me, able to help me get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And because I mean they wouldn't even give me all I was asking for was counseling.
Sure.
Because like I said, it was an infantry unit and whatnot, and the government didn't even want to do that.
I wonder why that when somebody asks for counseling after going into the military, A, B, more importantly, going into a combat zone, and C, when you come out, I wonder why. Why do you think they're so reluctant to give you counseling?
Okay, here's the deal. I had to hire an attorney. His name is J.W. Castle. He was out of Washington, D.C. And I had to hire an attorney because all I wanted was my medicine. I wanted to be able to take my Zoloft. And I want to be able to continue to counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even care about the money or anything, but I just wanted to make sure I was able to get my medicine.
Sure.
And I had to hire this attorney and, you know, do all this, and, you know, to get all this paperwork, to help me file the paperwork. And he was saying that they want to be careful how many soldiers they diagnose with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, I guess it makes it look bad, makes, you know, a negative effect. I'm not quite sure exactly what the deal was. But he also said too, because they have to pay for it. I mean, because all those prescription medicines,
mm-hmm.
I had to take like Zoloft, so stuff called like, it was called a gabapentin pain medicine for my hand. I don't know what the deal was.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Sydney, listen, I'm glad you called. I hope you'll stay in touch. You live in El Paso?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. I listen to your show. I listen to your show every night while I'm doing my homework. And I love it. You know, and I listen to a lot of other shows, the Tom Hartman show and whatnot. But I like your show because also you're not caught up in all the too much into the running races right now for the presidency and all stuff. You actually reported the news tonight.
And you know why else you like this program, Sydney? Because I'm a clown.
Oh, yes, you are.
Sydney, thanks, man. Stay in touch. Call me again, all right?
All right, God bless.
Take care. All right, Sydney, take care. Take care, Sydney. Take care, Sydney.
Why are we all fighting? Huh? Why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. We're getting where we've come from, and all of this.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 minutes before the hour. Prairie 2 sent me an email here regarding caucuses. So this is for you, AJ, and for me. Because I am blissfully, or not, ignorant about all this. Anyway, Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, all states have a caucus to select delegates. Iowa, like about half the states, does not have a primary as well. Originally, the precinct delegates were supposed to represent the local people. This was a reform instituted after the 68 Chicago Convention. But immediately, the candidates started messing with the system. After Jimmy Carter spent a year campaigning in Iowa and won, that became the practice. It doesn't change because nobody can come up with something that isn't worse. You can see how everybody is desperate to jump in front. If the so-called free market were allowed to decide, we'd now be having the caucus for the 2012 election. Only the Democrats play Red Rover. The Republicans just have a straw poll. No delegates are actually awarded. Well, thank you, Prairie 2. I appreciate it. And AJ and I are still sitting here scratching our heads. We have he's not here. He's in the Catskills, never mind. Back to your phone calls. Jan is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Jan.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I've been laughing since I turned you on this evening. You're a very funny man.
Well, you know, some nights we laugh here, some nights we just cry, some nights we bleed.
I know, and I know you talk about so much serious stuff, but when you do that accent, it just kills me. I almost spit tea all over the keyboard. you know, when I first heard that recording, the first thing, well, I was listening at work, and someone else listened with me, uh-huh. and both of us went, oh, come on.
Yeah, really.
It sounded like the voice of a transformer.
And yeah.
You know, and I said,
we are coming to you.
Don't make me spit tea. but it just,
we are going to bite you on the ass.
It's ridiculous. It's as if the fact that they think so moronically, they believe that everyone else is a moron.
I guess. You know, I would here's what I would expect. If somebody's going to rig something like this up, for God's sake, have a nice clear video. I watched that video all over television when this incident allegedly occurred. Whoever was running the camera ought to be sent to photographer school and learn how to run an 8mm or whatever the hell he was using. I mean, you know, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. We are coming for you. Zoom in, zoom out. And all these little boats going, and nothing is clear, nothing. And then the dubbed in voice. Look. Mm-hmm. All they have to use as a model is get any video game. The U.S. military trains mm-hmm. soldiers on video games now. Just get one of these murderous video games. Look at the graphics. Copy the graphics. And end of story.
Right. People can record better video on their cell phone.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Say it again.
I said people could record better video on their cell phone.
I know. It's insane.
It's ridiculous.
Hey. Listen, you're starting to break up. Listen to this.
Okay.
Whoops. Okay. Take one of I Am Coming to You.
I am coming to you.
That was good. That was real good. Can you make it sound a little bit more robotic? Yeah, no problem.
I am coming to you.
How's that?
Not bad. One more time. Get it a little more robotic-like if you could.
Okay.
I am coming to you.
Perfect. That's a take.
Now, I can't tell you where I got that recording, but I have lots of friends who are in very high-ranking positions in the United States Navy. So, you know, whatever, right?
Well, and this is the only other thing I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
I was a huge X-Files fan.
Yeah.
And I loved the show, but there were times when I went, oh, come on, you know.
Yeah, I know. The first three or four seasons, it was great, but they jumped the shark. Cigarette Man is the one who made him jump the shark. I mean, mm-hmm. it just went to hell in a handbasket. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I used to think how outrageous a lot of it was.
Yeah.
No, I think life is imitating art. I'm utterly convinced there is an evil cabal in charge of the world and that there is a cigarette man somewhere. And, you know, maybe they were right.
Yeah, maybe they were. Maybe they were.
Well, Mike, I thank you for making my evenings just wonderful. And you're a good man.
Well, thanks, Jan. That's very kind of you. You're making me blush. Thanks a lot. You call again, all right?
All right. Take care.
Take care. Watch out for the tea. Don't spit the tea. Don't spit the tea all over the mic.
It just occurred to me, it's been driving me crazy.
Yeah.
That's who Mayor Bloomberg looks like.
Who?
Cancer Man from The X-Files.
The Cigarette Man?
That's who he looks like.
Really? Kathy's been into the cooking sherry again. All right, big break. We'll be back. Stick around. You got enough time here to go to the bathroom, go fix a sandwich, drink some tea, whatever you want to do. If you got them, smoke them. We'll see you on the other side of the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. like a drunk.
In a midnight choir.
In a midnight choir.
I have tried.
Yes, I have.
In my way.
In my way.
To be free.
We need some new theme music. I mean, this is okay, but, you know, when you have an hour left of the program and it's, you know, that laid back, it's like, oh, God. Maybe some bare naked ladies. I want to be a Mountie, something like that. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Back to your phone calls immediately. Steve is calling from Missouri. Steve is listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Malloy, it's great talking to you. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
I just want to know, does the administration think that the people in this country are so stupid that they have forgotten the Gulf of Tonkin?
Yes, they do.
The same thing happened.
Yes, it did.
It's like looking in a mirror to the 60s. It's the exact same thing. Just a few years ago, the truth came out about the Gulf of Tonkin.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it was just made up.
And you know what? And you know what is absolutely obscenely insane is that the White House spokesman Dana Perino didn't know what the hell the Gulf of Tonkin incident or resolution was.
It's insane.
It is.
Do they think that the American people are so stupid?
Yes.
Well, I know they do. I know they do. It's completely obvious that they do. But you know, somebody ought to call the administration on it and say, "Hey, look, George." George, hey, don't be a dumbass, okay?
Yeah, but Steve, you know that, you know, anything that Bush is told to do, Bush is not rational. Bush would do just about anything as long as, you know, when he's told to do it, by that cabal of nutballs that surround him, starting with Dick Cheney, as long as they tell him that it's really his decision, as long as they tell him that he's the decider, he's really in power, he gets to order the nukes against Iran, he gets to go over to Israel and talk with Netanyahu, as long as they keep telling him, you know, the freaks around him, as long as they keep telling him that he's in charge, he's in power, he's the boy, he believes it, and he'll do anything. He'll say anything. If they come to him and say, look, we have this recording, these Iranian speedboats were trying to attack the U.S. Navy, you know, he'll say, oh, really? I mean, he has no clue. First of all, he doesn't know what an Iranian speedboat is, and he damn sure doesn't know what the U.S. Navy is. Do you know how insane it would really be for 4 or 5 speedboats to start attacking U.S. naval vessels? I mean, please! Please, but Bush, you see, Bush goes along, and then they say, look, we got this audio. Listen to this, George. I am coming to you. Oh, damn, that sounds pretty serious. You know, I mean, he's a nutcase, Steve. He's a nutcase.
He's worse than a nutcase, and the sad part about it is, up until about 4 years ago, I was on his side, and I was a bleeding conservative.
No, you
they call us bleeding liberals.
No,
I was a bleeding conservative, and I believed that.
No, right? You weren't. No, you weren't.
Seriously.
Nah.
I was a registered Republican, believed the party line crap.
Well, what got you to turn around? I mean,
situation happened. I was unemployed, lost my job, good paying job.
Right.
Couldn't get another one where I lived.
Right.
Couldn't afford to move to another area.
Yeah.
Couldn't get assistance in any way from the government.
Right.
Due to Republican conservative.
So you've really done a 180 in your political thinking, really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't be any more 180.
Well, how does that feel? I mean, you know.
I mean, you know what? Actually, it feels good to actually understand. For once in my life, what real Americans are going through, what real Americans, the ones out there that don't have the silver spoon in their mouth.
Well, that's a pretty powerful statement. I've talked to people who come to doubt their political belief, and I've met a few liberals who come to doubt it. I've met conservatives come to doubt, but I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who's done a complete 180. You know, I mean, just common folk like you and me. There are some prominent people who have made that conversion, but just ordinary folk like you and me, I very seldom come across somebody who, you know, who says, yeah, I used to be this, and I'm completely changed. I'm complete, and you say it happened in 4 years. Well, I don't know what to say. I guess when things start to hit you hard, you know, it gets our attention. And
well, you know, if more people out there had to live, more Republican conservatives had to live in the real world, had to make a choice between going to the doctor or paying the light bill.
I hear that, yeah.
Then maybe they would wise up, you know, smarten up. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Steve. I hope you call again, and just thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Take care, okay?
Hey, Malloy, keep it up.
I'll do it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. I really do appreciate his obviously. I want to pat him on the back and say, well, good for you, for coming out of the ether. But I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to really talk to somebody. I don't want to come across as some condescending, arrogant talk show bastard who says, well, good for you. It's about time you came out of the... You know, I can't do that. I'm always kind of humbled when I hear somebody say, I used to believe that, and now I believe this. Now, especially if it swings around to a Democrat or a progressive or a liberal point of view or a combination of all three or... away from self-defeating conservatism, and I believe that most conservatism these days, as it has developed since probably Reagan, is and that's what 27 years. It is self-defeating. It is maybe Nixon. It is self-defeating. I've said this a million times. I grew up in a family that had liberals and conservatives, had Democrats and Republicans. And by God, we all managed to get along fine. And not because we were a family. That probably made it more difficult to get along. But politically, because the variance used to be not that... I'm talking about working class Republicans, working class Democrats. The variance were not that big. We all pretty much wanted the same thing. Have a decent life, be able to afford this, be able to send the kids to school, be able to get what we used to call medical coverage, and have a job, a steady job. That was the thing, a steady job. And then when the elections came around, yeah, we could sit around and, get half ripped on beer and cuss each other's candidate. But the truth was, the interests of working class Democrats and working class Republicans were so close that it was difficult to see daylight sometimes between the two points of view. But Reagan changed all that, didn't he? Huh? Reagan changed all that. The former FBI spy against his own union members, the former so-called Democrat, he had a 182, didn't he? Only he went the other direction. But yeah, I remember back in the day. I remember when, the political contests were more about, which side is going to lead the country in the right direction better. We knew that both sides somehow would try. The political philosophies were different. And I'm talking about the surfacey stuff. We never knew what was going on behind the scenes. We didn't know about Guatemala. We didn't know about overthrowing the Shah of Iran, or the president of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh. We didn't know about assassinations. We didn't know about destabilizing currencies. We didn't know about what happened in Greece when the communists tried to take over. We didn't know any of that. It was all surfacey. But at least we could sit down together, Democrats and Republicans, and have a cup of coffee or drink a beer or say, my man's going to kick your man's ass, and everybody laugh about it. Boy, are those days gone, huh? Boy, are those days gone. So, no, I just never quite know what to say to someone like Steve who's... who's changed his thinking, and all of a sudden it seems to parallel my thinking. Not that he came around to my way of thinking, that he changed to Democrat or liberal or whatever he's changed to. I never know what to say. I want to clap him on the back and say congratulations, but that's just a little bit too arrogant. 22 past the hour. A couple of emails here real quick. This is from Rob, Political 180. Yes, in the subject line. Rob writes, Mike, I started life as a Reagan Republican, and then about 90 exclamation points. And then, like your caller just now, something happened. I came to terms with being gay, and then AIDS hit, and then my lover died of it, and then I came down with AIDS myself and had no health insurance and almost died and starved and had no roof over my head. It goes on. I won't bore you. But my political and personal philosophy underwent a dramatic transformation, and I consider myself now a progressive Democrat. Yes, it does happen to, quote, folks like us, end quote. Rob. Yeah. This is from Prairie 2, Life Imitating Art. Hey, Mike, did you see the X-Files where they foiled the smoking guy's plot to remote fly an airliner into the World Trade Center? This is a couple of years before 9/11. Life Imitating Art? Maybe death entertaining. Oh, well. This is from Barry. Hey, Mike, how about those aerials? Remember when the Bushes were showing the same aerial satellite photos to represent a nuclear bomb facility in whatever country was the latest target? Yeah, I remember that. They should have put sound to those pictures. I'm coming to you. Your city will explode. Yeah, probably so. Todd in Illinois writes, regarding the Navy tape, Mike, I have a theory on where they got that tape recording with the Iranian speedboats. I listened to it a few times, and it sounds to me like one of those outer space arcade games from the early 80s. I grew up playing those old games a lot, and I remember what they sound like. I know the game Gorf talked to you during gameplay. Do you remember any of those games? No. Todd in Mundelein, P.S., Space Invaders, anyone? No, I don't know what I was doing in the 80s. I have no memory. This is from Tom in Phoenix. Mike, after hearing you play that recording a number of times, I finally realized what it reminds me of. A movie I haven't seen since the 60s on Chiller Theater on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. The title was Attack of the Crab Monsters. A hilarious grade B movie about giant mutated land crabs with human eyes that are not only nearly impossible to kill, the creatures absorb their victim's intellect by consuming the brain and can project voices of their eaten victims to trap still other victims. I'm coming to you! It sure sounds like Attack of the Crab Monsters to me. Hey, if the Iranians are doing it, where else could it be coming from? Oh, Jesus, thanks for the nightmares guaranteed tonight, right, Tom? And this is from Hey Key M. Dear Mike, why do you always follow the puppet they dangle in front of you instead of the one who's pulling the strings here? Cheney, with his lifelong pursuit of expanding presidential powers, is the real menace to America. Really? Damn! But... Cheney? Huh. Thank God somebody finally explained that to me. Whew. I mean, for almost, we're in the eighth year. I've been thinking that it was all Bush. Holy Toledo. Thanks, Heckium. Heckium. Heckium? What the hell is this? Will you all put a name on here? Heykym. Heckium. Hey, Kim. Oh, I get it. It's from Hey, Kim. I thought it was Chinese. All right, back to your phone calls. Bruce is calling from California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Bruce.
Mike, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
A couple things. I first wanted to mention that on Brad Blog,
yes.
Dennis Kucinich is calling for a recount in New Hampshire.
I saw that earlier. Somebody sent me a link to it. It seems like the only one with any guts, any ethics... Is Dennis Kucinich.
He has more integrity than his little toe than the rest of them put together, I think.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear that.
That's one thing I wanted to mention to you. Another thing was on the subject of Benazir Bhutto's comment about Osama being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
BBC posted the same same interview, and in that BBC posting, that clip was cut out.
Yeah, I heard about that. We played that, I don't know, before we took a break, and I heard that that had been excised from the BBC mm-hmm. tape.
Yeah, it's cut out. So
I wonder why.
I have no idea. Maybe it's just a little bit too hot for them to handle.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know. I want to do a shout-out to Kirsten in Canada.
Kirsten?
Yeah, she's a new listener, a new truth seeker out in Ontario, Canada. So,
well, bless her heart.
Yeah, and you know, I just hope that
you want to dedicate a record to her.
Yeah, right. I don't know. You got such great music. I think anything will work great. Thanks, Mike. I want to let you go and get on to other calls, but that's what I wanted to let you.
All right, thanks, Bruce. And what's your name? Kirsten? Is that her name? Kirsten? Kirsten? Hello?
Yeah.
Is it Kirsten?
Kirsten, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were...
well, I did, but
yeah,
I came back.
Sorry.
All right. See you later.
Sorry.
Hey, Kirsten! This is for you, sweetheart.
And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Coming to you.
Somebody's love. Where did you show? It happened out at the Yahtzee show.
Twenty-five before the hour. All right, we have a little disagreement going here. Prairie 2 said, Mike, did you see the X-Files where they foil the smoking guy's plot to remote fly an airliner into the World Trade Center? That's from Prairie 2. Bob writes in, nah, wasn't an X-Files episode. It was the first episode of The Lone Gunman, an X-Files spinoff. So there, Prairie 2. Yeah, both these guys are right 100% of the time. So I don't know. I guess the score goes into Bob's column now. All right, Prairie 2, you got to come up with something to something good to get the score back. You know, this is from John who writes in. Subject line says 180. John writes, I graduated from Texas A&M, voted for Bush in 2000. The 9/11 inside job locked me on, and that handful, Alex Jones. I had a picture of Laura and W on my wall sent to me for donating $25. I'm in management. I went from ultra-conservative to liberal to anti-Illuminati within 2 years. But my parents still watch Fox. I wrote Bush once telling him I wanted a refund. John. Yeah, but did you get it? Probably asked for more money. Back to your phone calls. George is calling from Denver, listening via the internet. Hey, George.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Fourth time caller.
Okay.
Hey, you've been extra funny the last few days.
Must
be the vacation or something.
Or the drugs, one of the two. You know.
Hey, I agree with George Bush. We need to find these murderers that orchestrated 9/11,
yeah.
And we need to bring them to justice.
I think so.
Of
course, that would wipe out 80% of his administration, but...
You know, we could... what I was going to say is there's some videos that I wanted you to look at.
Well, uh-huh.
One's about the paper they used in the 2000 elections. Dan Rather did this interview,
mm-hmm.
and he went to the people that made the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he interviews them, and they said, for 30 years, we made this paper. We took pride in our job. It was a special paper.
Right.
When those punches come through, it cuts it so clean and perfect every time for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all of a sudden, we started getting all these rolls. It was like rubber paper, and we rejected them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we had that authority. We'd reject them. And a couple days later, there they'd be again. And he said, we wrote right on the side of the roll, bad paper. A few days later, there it was again, like a boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were going to put the bad paper in those elections. And that video is called The Trouble with Touchscreens.
The Trouble? Where do you find this?
At Google Video.
A Google Video? The Trouble with Touchscreens.
And it's very good. And if you want to skip right to the paper part, that's about about 38 minutes.
Okay.
But the first half is real good. It shows you how they make those touchscreens in these foreign countries. What junk it is.
foreign countries.
And another funny video is how to steal an election. And that's about 2 minutes long, and it's real funny.
All right. These are both a Google video?
Yeah.
All right.
And Votergate. That's with Bev Harris, and she shows you what a joke these machines are.
Yeah. All right.
Do you remember me? You talked to me about airplanes and how safe it is to fly?
Which one of us had the fear?
Well, we both did, but then you cured yours first.
Right.
But then you told me, you said the planes, they want to fly themselves.
Yeah, they do.
Until they lose one bolt and then they go down. You're riding a meteorite.
Well, it's the takeoff and landing that's a bit risky. But what the hell? I mean, come on, George. You only live once or six times, you know, who knows, but, you know, just mount the sucker and off into the wild blue yonder, right?
One bolt.
What?
Okay, well, thanks, Mike.
All right, take care.
Okay, too, bye.
Take care. Oh, Jesus. I've got to fly soon. No, I like the part about where they make these airplanes, and on the exterior skin, the exterior whatever the hell it is it metal? I don't even know. But they file or sand down those rivets until they're just the rivets that holds the I don't know the right words, that holds the skin to the fuselage or holds the, but they file them down to where there's no wind resistance, so they're filed down, you know, smooth with the exterior of the plane, you know. So which raises the question, what stops them from going boing 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 down the side of the plane? I don't want to think about stuff like that. David is calling from Spokane, Washington, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, this morning at work, one guy mentioned that these Navy ships are probably off the coast of Kennebunkport, Maine, and the people in the speedboats are the Bush twins.
You think?
I'm coming to get you.
Coming to get you.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you, or coming for you, or something. I don't know. It's just such a joke.
Yeah.
Bush twins in the speedboats. All right.
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
I don't know. Anything's possible these days.
Yeah, that's
just
that's
like
true.
The cigarette smoking man.
Yeah. All right. Well, David, Okay. Listen. Thanks for checking in.
You too.
All right. You have a nice evening. Well, I didn't check in. You know, I work here, but thanks. You know, I appreciate it. Call again, David. Honest to God. Dave is calling from St. Louis, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Dave.
Hi, bro.
Oh, no. Are you
Go ahead.
Are you the guy that said, I'm coming to you?
Hey, Mike, listen, I used to be, I was in the Coast Guard. I ran on a search and rescue team.
Yeah.
Weapons team. And when I got out, I bummed around the world, ended up in Hollywood doing sound for, junkets, mostly press junkets, doing sound and video, and
right.
So I had my ears in the can for a long time.
Yeah,
and I hadn't heard the Iranian clip until you played it. Only the clip that supposedly came from the bridge. The video attached to
right.
The Navy clip was on the bridge.
Right.
Well, when you play that back, I, Mike, I'd love to do a voice analysis of this because I guarantee you. The voice that came across as the Navy radio man is the same guy who's going, I'm coming to you. You can hear it over the one MC. It's the same dude.
Really?
The radio man is not on the bridge, right? They're going to pipe that through the one MC.
Right.
It's the same guy. He's clowning around. I guarantee you, I wish somebody would find this guy. Because if you play him back-to-back, over and over, the guy was going, I'm coming to you. That's the Navy radio man, because you can hear it on the Iranian bridge. Because this Bush, right? They're like,
what? Uh-oh. Wait a minute, Dave. Dave, do we have to take Dave out? I'm sorry, Dave. Listen, yeah. Before you go, you said the S word. I know you listen on XM, but see, we originate in over the air broadcasting, and XM carries us. I have the same problem sometimes with Sirius listeners. We have to use a different language standards on over-the-air broadcasting, even though you're hearing us on XM. But I got what you had to say, and I hope you call back, Dave. You can't use the caca word on the program. It's cool. I'm not saying don't. I think it ought to all hang out.
I think we ought to be able to say, well, whoops, you know, all of it. But we can't. No, I'm serious. I'll tell you the reason why. You know, we're a new company and a broadcast entity, and with the nutballs now in Congress looking to squash anything that sounds progressive or Democrat or liberal, they just wait for something like that to happen so they could hit us with a $300,000 fine, which would wipe us out. So we're very careful about screening out curse words. But other than that, Dave, that's a wonderful thing, and I hope you call back again. Just, you know, just remember, no caca, no F word, no CS word, no BS word, none of those words. Just use something else, all right? But that's interesting. Yeah, it would be nice. What are those called? Voice stress tests or voice analysis, whatever they are. Run the Navy guy on the bridge and or wherever, the radio man, and that I'm coming to you. You son of a bitch. Now you can say that. Don't ask me why. You know, I can say, and I appreciate the fact that the listeners don't pick up on my bad language. Because I really should have, you know, I'm embarrassed. Thank God my kid's asleep this hour of the night. But, you know, if I say son of a bitch or something like that, it's okay. But if, you know, if one of our listeners do, it just sounds tacky. It's tacky radio, and I should know better. We have a break coming up here, but I see Marge is on hold. So we'll come to Marge when this is over. This break is over, and Norman, and who else do we have up here? Scott and Sarah, and what is that? Clocto? Okay, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Novam Radio. About 10 before the hour. Thanks to our motley crew. Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your phone calls. Billy Foster, our technical director. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Couple of quick emails. Eleanor writes, I'm coming to you. She says, that wasn't any of that X-Files stuff. That was my dad yelling down the clothes chute into the basement to scare the hell out of us kids in 1956. And Barry writes, no way, it's the radio guys, the Navy radio guys. It's not them. It was a Beatles album played backwards. Ah, come on. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program. Hey, Marge.
Hi, y'all, darling.
I'm doing fine. You're talking Southern again.
Well, that's where you're at.
There you go.
You missed it Tuesday night because you were working.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, it was, you know, they broke for the announcement, and there sat your favorite number one media whore, Tim Russert, with his chalkboard.
Yeah.
With a long face announcing that Hillary had won and his 13-point prediction for Obama had gone to hell.
He was really upset about that, huh?
Oh, he had such a long face.
Yeah, they all have long faces. They really do.
Well, what kind?
I mean, because of the horrendous miscalculation. You see, they didn't realize that the machinery could be tampered with. That's tinfoil hat stuff. Never mind.
Was Royko still alive when you moved to Chicago?
Who?
Mike Royko.
Yes, he was. Yes.
Because he wrote a column, and when I was sitting there listening to Tim Russert, I thought, the good people of New Hampshire must be a Royko fan. Because it was his advice that when these so-called pundits call, or poll takers call, and wanted to know what you're going to do in an election or whatever, lie to them. Just flat out lie to them. And when I saw the results, I said, yay, for our side.
Yeah.
And now today I'm hearing that they're saying that the voting machines are not working too good. And I hadn't heard until tonight that Dennis was the one who was calling for a recount.
Yeah, well, nobody else would. Clinton wouldn't. Obama wouldn't. And the reason they won't is because all Democrats have a cowardly streak. And I don't care if it's somebody who comes across like, hi, I'm Mr. Sure for Change, Barack Obama, or hi, I'm Ms. Sure for Change, Hillary Clinton. I don't care who or even Edwards, who it looks like I will probably vote for if I vote this year. All Democrats at their core, Democratic politicians at their core.
Kerry voting for our.
Yeah, I saw it. What a slap in the face to his former running mate. But they all have a streak of cowardice, except apparently some of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus and Dennis Kucinich. That's it. The rest of them, the rest of the Democrats are just terrified that George Bush or Duncan Hines or whatever the hell his name is, the guy from that one of these Republicans are going to come up to him and go, "Boo, boo, off to Guantanamo with you." You know, it's weird. So good for Dennis. Good for Dennis.
Oh, gee whiz. Can I put in a song request?
A song request? You want to sing something?
No. Are you kidding me? I haven't had enough boobies to start singing.
Right.
No, but you play it once in a while.
Yeah?
I'm going straight to hell.
Well, we play that on Friday nights.
Oh.
That's our Friday night song.
Oh, well, all right. But I like that. I miss that.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to hear it? Because you don't have a computer.
Well, I could call up at the last minute and just sit there and hold.
That's true. On Friday night, what you need to do is just call in and sit and listen on hold. I just don't understand why you don't get a computer.
Well, every time I get ready to buy one, somebody comes up with some new kind of scam that makes them hard to deal with, and I don't need that problem.
Does your son...
viruses and firewalls and crap...
Well, does your son still live on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Well, the next time he comes to Indiana, just have him bring you one, set it up, and put in your firewall protection and your virus protection so you can listen to the program. Honest to God. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then don't.
I got to do something because, you know, if they're going to go from analog to digital, everything's going to go. That makes me crazy.
Well, the other thing to do is just sign up for Sirius or XM. It only costs about $12 a month. That's $144
a year. Which one are you on?
Both.
Oh, okay.
And just get one of those services. You have to buy a radio, but your son ought to buy you the radio as a present. And then just, I don't know, get $12 a month or $10.
I was thinking about the satellite, but I wasn't sure which one you were on. And
that's all you need.
It comes in parts, doesn't it? It's not just
you just plug it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just get.
I have
to
look into that.
You just get it and plug it in. All right, Marge, we're out of time.
You behave yourself now.
I'll do it. Take care. Take
care,
Marge.
You too.
All right. Bye bye. It's Marge from Indiana. We are just about out of time. Norman, all right, put Norman on here real quick. Hey, Norman in Miami, we got 20 seconds, pal.
Hey, what's up, before I tell you about my concern about I'm coming for you. First of all, nobody is not stupid enough about really knowing how Bush is. Bush liked to fight.
That's
nobody's
right.
Stupid enough to come and attack us or make a threat like that, knowing that he's ready to respond.
Well, he doesn't. He doesn't like to fight. He likes you to go fight, or me to go fight, or some 20-year-old woman to go fight. But Bush isn't going to go fight. He's a coward. He's an absolute. Norman, I got to leave it there. Check in with me tomorrow, and I'll put you on first. All right?
Okay, I will. What time exactly you start?
9 o'clock.
Okay, I will give you a call tomorrow.
All right, man. Thanks.
Have
Norman.
A good night.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. We're out of here. Thanks for hanging out tonight. I do appreciate it. All right? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.